Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 350, the first four stanzas, with joy. I heard my friends exclaim, come, let us in God's temple meet. Within thy gates, O Zion blessed, shall ever stand our willing feet. 1-4 of Psalter 350. scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 19 through verse 31. John 20, 19 through 31. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless and that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy man servant, nor thy maid servant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 20, beginning with verse 19. And then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, and they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, and thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And so far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Bill Auerkirk and Mr. Tony Auerkirk, who have lost their sister in the week that is gone by. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we try in this morning hour, when we have received this great privilege again, to come together round about thy word and everlasting testimony, First, to draw nigh unto thee. And Lord, thou who art the searcher of the heart and the trier of the reins, and thou art not ignorant of all that lies within the heart of each and every one of us. And there is not one of us who is able to stand before thee in that judgment, to which we are traveling personally, each and every one. For from the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet, thou knowest we are wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And then we come together round about thy word in thy house, and we can hide it from everyone, but we cannot hide it from thee. Lord, wilt thou remember us all together? Wilt thou forgive all of our many sins and that lie within us and what comes forth from day to day, that we are not able to purge our wretched hearts from? Oh, do open our eyes for what we are before thee, and give us more and more to abhor ourselves, because in thy sight we are not clean, but we are filthy and corrupt and polluted. Oh, we need to be forgiven, and we need to be cleansed and to be washed. And we are not worthy to come into thy sight in this morning hour,
But Lord, wilt thou look on us in and through thine only begotten Son? In him thou art well pleased, because he was so perfect, and he has accomplished everything that he may bring in a people who have sinned and transgressed against thee into thy blessed presence and communion again. And Lord, that is our only hope and expectation. Also in this morning hour, when we cannot approach before thee ourselves, and then we need a surety and a redeemer for our poor souls. Lord, show him unto us. Could it be in this morning hour to give light into all thy truth? For when we must miss him, then we must miss everything. And by nature, we miss him not only, but we have no desire for him and for thee. And we see not our wretched state and condition. And we travel in a careless way over the world with all our religion. Oh, we need to be converted, Lord. Thou dost say and that we have to be born again. Oh, that thou may do it then, because it is thy work to do so. And could it please thee then to remember us with our dear children, that there would not be one of us left behind on that journey to that great eternity. Thou leavest left not a hoof behind in the land of Egypt, where thou didst bring thy people, and it was also a mixed multitude. Then there were those whose hearts were drawn even from the land of Egypt. Lord, that thou may look upon each and every one of us, and that thou may draw our hearts in a day of grace and in a time of salvation, that thou may instruct us in all thy truth, that thou may make thyself to be precious and necessary. Oh, that thou may make thy own work to be blessedly suitable to our poor souls, that it may be precious in our sight, that thou hast given thyself unto death, even unto the death of the cross. But then it is necessary to see that we have to die, and that we cannot die, and that we are not able to stand before our Maker. Lord, wilt thou look on us if we still travel careless over this world? Oh, that we may be given to see that thou art our Maker and our Creator, and that our great responsibility and accountability may be bound upon our hearts as we travel our short journey here below. The time is short. And the stakes are so great. Lord, thou knowest that it is a never, never ending eternity. It shall be well or it shall be woe. And that for us and for our dear children, there is no third way. Oh, Lord, then wilt thou take us by heart and by hand and grant us true conversion. Well, we can read our fathers do say, that regeneration, the raising from the dead, which is a miracle, which we work not by a human persuasion, but it is by thy own Holy Spirit. Remember thy own children. Thou knowest also the place wherein they do dwell. And thou knowest their state, because thou hast called them out of death unto life. And that life does hunger and thirst after thee. But thou knowest that they often have to look even for the smallest mark. Oh, could it be, and that in this morning they may hear that smallest mark of which we hope to speak in this hour. Oh, it is such a simple mark, but it is such a necessary mark. And we need, Lord, not the greatest, but we need the very beginning. And we need the first marks of that new life. and that the people may be given to see sometimes just that thou hast begun. Because thou knowest how that everything gets so turned upside down. Wilt thou look on them, wherever that they may be in this morning hour? And wilt thou bring them again from the land of the captivity, from the south and from the north, from the west and from the east? And wilt thou bring them unto the rest that they crave? And wilt thou lead them in that sure way unto those everlasting habitations, which for their own hearts they are not so sure, unless that thou dost come again, and unless that thou dost appear once again for their souls. Lord, remember us in this day. Oh, that it may become the sanctuary, the house of the Lord in this morning hour. And thou alone can make it to be so. And thou art such a surprising God. And thou didst come and thou didst speak and say, peace be unto you. And then thou art able to take away all the turmoil that is living in the heart of thy people. Lord, remember them where they are. Remember us as a congregation. Oh, that thou may visit us young and old together. That thou may work with thy spirit mightily when Satan does draw us with our children and young people. Oh, then there is only one that is able to keep them, and that is thee thyself. Lord, we beseech it of thee, that thou would have dealings with us and our dear children, and leave us not to go in our own way. Increase the number of thy servants. Remember us when we hope to be together as a curatorium in the week that is to come. Lord, that thou may supply wisdom for us. Oh, when thou hast given that one, may give himself that is not able to stay away anymore. Lord, could it please thee then to help us and to give us wisdom, that we would never thrust a man ourselves. But, oh, could it please thee to do thy own work and to remember us in thy mercy and gladden us with thy deeds. Wilt thou look upon us then in this morning hour? Be with all those that are not able to be with us. Then it could be that their hearts did burn in this morning, and that they may also be together with a multitude. Oh, Lord, remember them in their place then. And when there is no desire, oh, that thou may bring again, look upon us, and wilt thou bless us out of thy heavenly store to open the windows of heaven. Do forgive and take away our many sins and bless us undeservedly. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 134, 1, 2, and 3. Within thy temple, Lord, in that most holy place, beyond thy loving kindness dwell the wonders of thy grace. And what follows, we make the following announcements. The following young people hope to make confession of faith on Sunday, May 29th, in the morning service. Gerrit Jan Bredeweg, Lisa Gerda Bredeweg, Timothy Jacob Den Hollander, Craig Justin Fader, Eric Marvin Van Driesten, Denzel Riley Van Driesten, Amy Beth Wubbs. Any lawful objections to these young people becoming confessing members of our congregation must be brought to the attention of the consistory by May 24th. Also, Mr. Gerrit van Hagenbos and Mrs. Hendrika van Hagenbos, Nee van de Brink, with 9 baptized children, wish to join themselves to our congregation from the RCNA at Monarch. Lawful objections may be brought to the consistory by May 23rd. Psalter 134, all stanzas.
Thank you.
Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. If only, congregation, we may see him. How shut up, how closed is everything for God's true church. And when they are not able to see him, then how dark and then how fearful everything is. How high are the mountains of sin. And when they cannot see him, how fearful is the thought of appearing before the judgment seat of God when they are not able to see him. How despairing is the experience of the pollution of the heart when they cannot see him. Oh, how impossible to be reconciled. How great is the separation between God and my soul when I cannot see him. And how awful is the thought of that great eternity. And there shall they see me. How great a matter that is to be able to see him. Then everything changes for that people. And how do they see him? We read of the disciples that they may see him with their bodily eyes. No, that is no longer possible. But they saw him with more than their bodily eyes. And it was that sight that was for them the greatest. When they may see him with that eye of faith. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, then you would say to this mountain, be removed hence and be removed to some other place. And it would obey you. Oh, how everything is changing in that moment when they may see him. No, then there are no more mountains of sin. Then that sin is removed. It is removed as far as east from west is distant. Then that sin that is cast, we read, into the depths of the sea. Oh, if they may only see him, then there is life. If they may only see him, then there is light, then there is liberty. If they may only see him, then they can see through all the impossibilities. Then those impossibilities, they are like wax before the fire, melting away. Then they are like stubble before the wind. Oh, if they may see him, then they may see the Father. Then they may see love. Then they may see reconciliation. And there they shall see me. He is showing himself. He is showing himself unto his own people that they may see him. He is revealing himself. Why? For their own comfort. Often hiding himself behind our wall. But then he peeks through a moment. Oh, then he shows himself through the lattice. often he is hiding himself, yes. He is hiding himself, but then he is coming. And then they may behold him. They may behold him leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. Oh, there they shall see him. There their soul may rejoice when they may see him. Oh, there their soul may sink away under the goodness, under the love, under the faithfulness of the Lord. They are the good moments in this life. They are the savory moments when the soul may delight itself in the Lord. They are the moments that the day breaks and that the shadows flee away. And that my beloved, he is like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. And there they shall see me. O congregation, do you desire also to see him? Do you love him? Do you miss him? Do you ask for him? Do you beg for him? He shows himself. He shows himself unto his people. And he shows himself still today. But will you also see him? We wish to consider something of this from the words of our text in this morning. And with the Lord's help, which you can find in that portion that we have read to you, John 20, in the 24th verse. John 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So far the words of our text. Thomas, absent when Jesus came. First, what he missed by his absence. And second, what he gained by his presence. Thomas absent when Jesus came. And first, what he missed by his absence. Second, what he gained by his presence. But Thomas, one of the 12. Thomas' congregation was one of the 12. He was chosen by the Lord Jesus. You say, so was Judas. Yes, so was Judas. And yet Judas was not one of those that were chosen from eternity. Judas was not loved from eternity. Judas was given a place among the disciples of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus had his purpose in this. It was necessary. It was necessary for the fulfilling of the scriptures. It was necessary for the bringing forth of the decree of God. It was necessary for the salvation of his church. But now Judas, he has gone to his own place. But now we read it differently of Thomas. Thomas, he is one of the 12. And he is indeed one and that has been chosen by the Lord from all eternity, loved by him. And he was also given an office. But how important, congregation, is the office for the coming of the kingdom of God, for the bringing in of his church, from the beginning to the end of the world. For the sake of those offices, we hope to meet as a curatorium in the week to come. Or will we be found together in this week at the throne of grace? And when we must make such an important decision, when a man will come and he will lay before us all that is living in his heart. And then when we must make such an important decision, then how necessary that a man be truly converted by the Lord. How necessary that a man be truly called by the Lord. How necessary that the leadings of the Lord may also be evident in his life. And that the Lord himself is giving him instruction and leading him from step to step. Or then how necessary that we be given also discernment in this very important matter concerning also the future of our churches, concerning also our children, and who will now bring that word of God unto our children. Oh, so it was with Thomas. In God's word that is so honest, that hides nothing. It hides nothing of what is living in the heart of his people and what is living in the heart of his servants and all of their sin and all of their mistakes and how the Lord is leading and how the Lord is instructing them. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. He was not with whom? He was not with the rest of the disciples. He was not with the women. He was not with the rest of the church when they were gathered together. Where were they? They were in Jerusalem. And later, then they will also go into Galilee. And there they shall also see him, as indeed he has said unto them. But then indeed we see it is not the place that is the most important. We read that the Lord Jesus, he was speaking unto the Samaritan woman. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "Our fathers say that in this mountain we ought to worship. And our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And what did the Lord Jesus reply to her? He says, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming and now is, when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall they worship the Father. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, they shall worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." How was that at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world? No, then it would no longer be in Jerusalem. And then we read over and over how the Lord Jesus, how the apostles, and they are speaking about how that word that will go out unto all men, that it will go out into all the world. Thus, there were great changes in that time that the Lord Jesus came, in the future, in that New Testament church. But now there was something that would not change. And what was that? We see that over and over, from the beginning even unto the end. That is the special blessing of the Lord upon the gatherings of his own people. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. We read already in the beginning of the Bible, we read already in the book of Genesis, that the Lord gave unto Seth a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men, we read, to call upon the name of the Lord. Was that the first time they began to pray, children? No. No, you may be sure that Adam and Eve, and you may be sure that Abel and that Seth, they have also bent their knees. But what was this? Was in the beginning of time, when that earth began to be populated, that there came a time that men began to gather in the way of a public worship. And so we have here the beginning of that public worship. And then we may see from this time forward in the world that the Lord has declared and that the church has experienced the blessing of the Lord upon his public worship services. When the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and them boys and girls, what did they have to build? Then the Lord has commanded them to build a tabernacle. Then they were not to go each one only into their own tents, sure. Then there must be a secret place, because the religion that is between God and our soul. But then the Lord would have also a public place. A public place wherein he may show his favor, wherein he may show himself, that he may reveal himself. So we can see that it was the desire and the longing of that church from the beginning of time, and that they may come up with the multitude unto that house of the Lord. And we may see how that Solomon may desire to build such a sanctuary for the Lord, and how that the Lord gave his favor upon it, and that the Lord is descending even with a cloud to fill that temple. And then we can read in God's word that this is the place that the Lord is said to choose. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph, and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like high palaces, like the earth which he had established forever. Thus, the Lord, he establishes his own institution. We can read how of old, when the Lord has brought the children into that wilderness, and the Lord has given his servant Moses to command the children of Israel, that the Lord is commanding his own people, and that in that place where the Lord chooses to put his name, and that the Lord says, even unto his habitation ye shall seek. And thither the Lord says to his people, shalt thou come? Thus the Lord is commanding it. And the Lord, he is said by the psalmist also to love it. His foundations where? Oh, his foundations. And they are in the holy mountains. His foundation that is in Mount Zion. Oh, then what do we read? We read that the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. For the Lord, he has chosen Zion. And the Lord, he has desired that Zion for what? For his own habitation. What does he say? This is my rest. Here, he says, will I dwell, for I have desired it. Oh, he says, here shall be my habitation. Here shall be my dwelling place. And that was not only in that time, but that he says it for the ages to come, even to the end of this world, that even where two or three may be gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so we can see that he has given his own example. Children, when he was still young, oh, then where was he found? When he could not be found among the multitudes in this world, oh, then his parents did turn themselves about, and they went back and found him sitting in the temple. Oh, then we can read how that later that he is going about among the cities and the villages, that he is teaching in the synagogues. All the people, they knew where to find him. They knew where to find him on the Sabbath day. Then he would be in the temple of the Lord. Then he would be in the synagogues. Oh, do we know also where to find him? upon the day of the Lord. What does Asaph say? He says, thy way that is in the sanctuary. And therefore, Paul says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And then the Lord also gives to us an example. He gives to us an example in his own servant, in his one of his own ministers, that was in Thomas. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And why was Thomas not there? Well, we do not really know, do we? Because it does not say in the Bible exactly why Thomas was not there. And then it is possible in our life that there can be circumstantial things that do keep us from the house of the Lord. And then there are lawful absences from that house of the Lord. And then the Lord knows all of this. Oh, can you not come up sometimes, fathers and mothers? Because there are responsibilities with an infant in your own home. Oh, then does the Lord know what is living in your heart? Oh, is that then a grief to you that you must stay in your own home and that you are not able to go where the tribes, they go up, the tribes of the Lord, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord, that it is living in your heart? Oh, could I also be there? Oh, let it not be too much your grief, because the Lord knows, and you do a very, very noble work. Hannah also, she remained for some time at home. And then there came the day. Oh, there came the day that she may receive that desire of her heart. And then she may bring that child up also with her. And there she may dedicate that child unto the Lord. Oh, then it is possible that for circumstantial reasons we are detained. Or you say that was possible with Thomas too. Yes. But it is also possible that he has stayed away in a purposeful manner. And that would not be right. But there is a people who can understand why that might be. Because for Thomas' congregation, everything that has been turned so upside down. And then it is possible that Thomas, that he now says that I have deceived myself, that it was him that I had thought it was the Christ, that it was him in whom that I had placed all my hope and all my expectation. Oh, that it was him who my soul did yearn after. And it was him whom I did look for to increase and to increase. And that he indeed would be the king of Israel. And now I see. Oh, now I see what a great mistake that I have made. When he is now lying in that grave. Oh, then it is possible that sometimes God's children, they even say, I go no more up. I go no more up unto that house of the Lord. Or it is possible, and that even with God's children, that they say, I go no more upon my knees. What use is it? Or it is impossible for me, because I have come up so many times, and the hopes and the expectations, they have welled up in my heart. But now I see that it was all so wrong. Oh, now I see that I am nothing but a hypocrite. Oh, and then they run with Elijah into that wilderness so that they can be all by themselves. That they are like a pelican in the wilderness and like an owl in the desert and like a sparrow that is alone upon the housetops. Why? Because, congregation, the impossibility that is so real. No, that is not. And as a person who may say it unto others. And that, oh, then it became so impossible for me. And then it came to such an end for me. But, or was it truly so in your life? Because that impossibility that is so real. Then it becomes without hope in the when the Lord is cutting it off. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Are you absent too sometimes? And why are you absent from that house of the Lord? Is it because you are on vacation? So that you are sitting in a hotel or in some other place on the day of the Lord? You say, I need a break. And it is not so convenient for me to go to a place where one of our own churches are. That is not a good sign. Oh, we know there are times that it is impossible. We know there are times that a man's calling in this world, he is calling him away as for a moment. But when it is our own choice, or when it is our own choice, that it is not such a good sign. Or do you think that would be the choice of David, whose heart did say, my soul longeth. My soul longeth for thee. Oh, it longs for what? It longs for the courts of the Lord. That my heart and my flesh crieth out after the living God. Oh, why? Why would our place be empty? Is it because maybe we don't quite feel like it? Because we have a little ache and because we have a little pain and because, well, maybe I think I'm starting to get a little cold and I feel not quite like coming up then to the house of the Lord. Certainly, there are lawful excuses, but is it now the smallest thing, congregation, that will keep us away? That is not a good sign. No, we sang that together, the servant of the Lord. Oh, he says, I was glad. Are you glad too, children? I was glad. And when they said unto me, let us go up unto the house of the Lord. Oh, he was not with them. Oh, when your place is empty. Or is that empty sometimes? Because you say, well, there is just a reading service today. And perhaps, or perhaps, well, we would rather hear today another minister that is in our area. Or is your bench empty because you are so discouraged? Because it seems like you receive nothing. And because like you will never receive anything. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. What did Thomas miss that day? Or what did Thomas miss when he was not with them? The other disciples, they were in that same circumstance as Thomas. And yet they were gathered together in all their perplexities, in all their riddles. How important, parents, is the training of our children. All that we are consistently, time after time, coming up unto that house of the Lord. That we are not remaining away for this and for that. That our duty that supersedes all of our feelings, that we are not giving in to despondency, that we are not giving in to despair. What did Thomas miss when he was not with them? Do you know what we read? He was not with them when Jesus came. Congregation, then he missed so much. He missed so much that would have been to his profit. Do you know what he missed? He missed when Mary came in. And when Mary could speak, how that the Lord had appeared unto her in her sorrow. All then Mary could speak and tell what the Lord had done in her life. And when she had looked for him in the grave, and when everything had been turned to her profit and to her benefit, then she could speak of that day that life has come in the place of death. All that is what Thomas missed, because Thomas was not with them. Do you know what Thomas missed? He missed, young people, when Peter came. Or when Peter may tell something. How that the Lord Jesus has appeared to him. How that the Lord has appeared even to such a one as he is. And how that is possible for a man in his wretchedness, and for the fear of man and in temptation to curse and to swear that they do not know the man. And then he can speak of the power of that blood that is upon that cross of Calvary. All then he can say there. And then he appeared. And then he came. Even to such a one as I am. But Thomas, he was not with them. And what did he miss? Oh, he missed when those two men from Emmaus did come in. Oh, then they could tell something. Oh, they could tell much. We have heard it. Oh, they can tell how that he was known of them. In the breaking of bread. Oh, what Thomas did miss. When he does not hear. How that the Lord. Is leading his own children. All the our children miss this too, congregation. Or maybe we have missed it also in our own life. When this one or that one. May one time tell what the Lord has done in their life. And now must our children also miss it, because father is not able to tell it, because mother cannot tell it, because grandfather cannot tell it, because grandmother cannot tell it. Oh, it is not only ourselves, but it is also for the sake of our coming generation that we must be born again and that we need to be led by that Holy Spirit of the Lord. Oh, what did Thomas miss? He missed so much. But what did he now especially miss? What did he miss when he was not with them? Well, we read, he was not with them when Jesus came. When Jesus came. Oh, how would it be, children, young people? How would that be? We read it in former days. Oh, could the Lord do it yet in our day? And the Lord did come, and His Spirit did move on the waters. When the Lord did come, not to give the minister new gifts, no, but to speak through the mouth of His servant and to move with His Holy Spirit in the midst of the congregation. So that Spirit did bless and sanctify that outward call and did make it into an inward call. And so there came a heartfelt sorrow. So there came an inward quiet groaning and moaning. So there was planted the love of the Lord in the heart. Oh, what a wonder that would be. What would it be, young people? What would it be to miss this? If it may be spoken once, that it may be said, in the midst of this church, oh, it was in such a morning of that Sabbath day or an afternoon hour, and then it became so quiet in that congregation. Oh, and then it was felt something of the moving of the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, how would that be if it had to have been said that I was not with them. Oh, Thomas, he was not with them when Jesus came. Oh, what do we read? That Jesus, he stood in the midst of them. He stood there. And he showed himself alive by an infallible proof. But Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. And then the Lord Jesus began to speak. And what did he say? He said, "Peace be unto you." All what is contained in the words of Christ, spoken unto the soul of his people, peace. Peace between God and my soul. To take away the separation. To take away the distance. And to reconcile me with God. Peace be unto you. But Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. And what do we read when the Lord Jesus stood there? That the Lord Jesus, he ate. Or he gave to them the tokens that he was truly alive. And he invited them that they may handle him and that they may see. And he gave to them the assurance that it is I myself, but Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. And what do we read the Lord Jesus did? He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. What for 3 years, when he walked with them day by day, they still did not understand. But then there was that day that Jesus came. Then there was that day and that he opened my understanding, and that he gave light in my soul. Then there was that day that I began to see, as I have never seen before. But Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. What did he do? He breathed on them. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he gave them the gifts that were necessary for that ministry. But Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. What did he do? He banished all their unbelief. So they had to believe it. But Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. And therefore, Thomas missed the blessing. And therefore, Thomas remained in the same condition that he was in before. And if it was not for the goodness and the faithfulness of the Lord, so it would have remained. But the Lord would have it different. Let us sing first. 240, 1, 2, and 5. Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance. In thy mercy, answer me. 1, 2, and 5 of 240. Thank you. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. What a great contrast. And Thomas with them. What is it that brings Thomas again into the company of God's people? We are not told directly, but there is something that we are told. And what are we told? We are told that the other disciples, that they are speaking unto Thomas. And what do they say? They say, we have seen the Lord. Can Thomas believe it? He cannot believe it. What does he say? He says, unless I shall put my finger into the print of the nails, and unless I thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. No, the whole church can rejoice. Thomas cannot rejoice because Thomas cannot believe. Oh, what a blessing. What a privilege. Is true faith. But no matter what happens to faith in the life of God's people, then the love that is in the heart of Thomas cannot be broken. No, it is a missing people. But now Thomas hears, we have seen the Lord. And now Thomas, he says, my soul that thirsteth for thee, and my flesh that longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is. And why? Oh, to see thy beauty and thy power, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Thomas was not a stranger of it. But now, it's so far gone. But now, as long as Thomas stays away, the Lord stays away too. But when Thomas comes back, then the Lord also comes back. And because what does the Lord say? He says, return unto me. He says, and I will return unto you. And after 8 days, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. And then what do we read? Then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. That is such a wonder. That the Lord Jesus comes again. And why does the Lord Jesus come again? Because the Lord Jesus had missed Thomas. And the Lord is not able to miss Thomas. No, he is not able to miss a single one of his own people. And Thomas has to wait. For his foolishness, Thomas has to wait for 8 days, weeping, while the rest of those disciples, they may rejoice. But Thomas does not have to wait forever. After
8 days, again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. And when Jesus comes, and what does he bring along? He brings along everything. And he works faith. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered, and said unto him, "My Lord, and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." Oh, I think that Thomas, he has never stayed away again. You think so too, children? That Thomas, he has never stayed away again. Because the Lord, he did show to Thomas that he saw him in whatever state and condition that he was. Oh, the Lord had heard him in his unbelief. And now there is no more place for doubt. There is no more place for unbelief in the heart of Thomas. Was it necessary for Thomas to touch, to put his finger, to thrust his hand into his side? We don't read it. And why not? Because the Lord, he had lifted him up out of the horrible pit into which he had brought himself. And he that now could believe the least, he may believe the most. And the Lord may give that it may be appropriated and applied in his own heart. My Lord and my God. Congregation, what did David say? He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. All that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What do you think, children? All the days of my life. And why? Oh, he says, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And to inquire, he says, into his temple. Oh, there is now a mark. A mark. Can you not find any marks anymore? Because everything is taken away from you. Oh, Thomas stayed away. But that mark that stayed in his heart. And now how unexpectedly the Lord comes. That's the way it's going to be when we have to die as a thief in the night. And that is going to be the way it's when the Lord comes again to judge the quick and the dead. Unexpectedly, suddenly. That is now the way the Lord is working in the life of his own people. Oh, how great a blessing when we may join ourselves with that true people of the Lord. What a privilege. Why? It has to do with faith. Asaph, what did Asaph say? He says, "Until I went into the house of the Lord." Oh, when he went there, then he was given faith. Then he was given eyes to see and a heart to believe. And so we read it in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
And 8 days after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. Congregation, is your heart so hard that you cannot pray? Bend your knees. Bend your knees. And maybe it will be a surprise to you that they still bend. Have you not a single desire to come within the house of the Lord? Come up anyway. Oh, come up anyway. Why? Because the apostle, he says, it is the Lord who worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Read in the book of Revelation, the Lord says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the house of my God, and he shall go no more out. A pillar in the house of my God. All that means that we remain there. That means that we are established there in that house of the Lord. And there all unbelief and there all doubt, all when we may be made a pillar here below in that house of the Lord. And we shall be a pillar in that house of the Lord to a never-ending eternity. There shall be no more doubt. There shall be no more unbelief. There shall be no more faith. But there they shall see him. There they shall see him forever and forever. And so they shall ever be with the Lord for an eternal Sabbath day. And he shall go no more out. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou teach us, lead us, guide us into all thy truth? And wilt thou forgive our many sins? Bless thy own word. Cause our hearts to love thee in thy house. And give us to experience thy nearness there, thy presence there, thy dealings there. Show thyself that thy people may see thee. And that there may not be one of us left behind. For Jesus' sake, amen. 228. Lord God of hosts, in mercy, my supplication hear. Almighty and all faithful, our Father's God, give ear. Our shield and great defender, no longer hide thy face, but look upon thy servant anointed by thy grace. 1, 2, and 3 of 228. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.